Good morning, church. We are glad that you're here. Taking time to prioritize your spiritual growth with Christ. I promise you with full assurance that there is nothing more important than that. And if you recognize me, but maybe you forget my name, that's totally all good. My name is Dawson, and I'm one of the associate family pastors here at the church. And I have the privilege of introducing you to our summer interns soon, as they will be shortly taking over this morning's message. So it's very exciting stuff. But before they do, I just want to give them a quick encouragement and say that these guys have not only been gleaning and learning so much from the day-to-day on-the-job tasks that they've been doing, but they've also just been gleaning from the Lord. I've seen over this summer that they have both developed spiritually, and I'm so glad that they are opening their hearts to the Lord and to the ministry of his people. So we're so grateful, and you'll hear more from them shortly. But over the last number of weeks, we've been working through a series called The Place of Prayer. And we've been talking about how God transforms lives through an intimate encounter with his presence. A primary anchor verse for this series is Ephesians 6:18, which states, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." But let's get into the Word of God this morning, and I'm going to do that through introducing a new segment that will probably never be repeated, but I'm going to call it Let's Get Fishy. Okay, so here's what the segment looks like. It looks like you guys thinking through and shouting out any instances where fish are mentioned in the Bible, okay? So I'll give you a couple seconds to think. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1, shout them out whenever you got one. Loaves and fishes, yeah. Corn and the fish. Okay, anyone else? Here we go. Jonah and the whale. Great one. Okay. Yes, Fishers of Men, lots of good ones. We have, of course, our arts feature, which is the miraculous catch from John chapter 21. We have Jesus feeding the 4,000 and the 5,000 in the Gospels from small fish. We have Jesus calling his disciples, us included, to be fishers of people. We also have a coin in the fish's mouth to provide for Peter and Jesus to pay taxes. But perhaps the most classic fish story of all time, yeah, it's even better than your uncle's fishing story. We have, of course, Jonah. And that is our text for today. So would you please stand with me as we read our text for today. And it comes from Jonah chapter 1, 17 to 2, 10. And it'll be on the screen. And if you would like, we also have Bibles at the back that you can grab. And you can take those home if you would like. Jonah chapter 1, 17. "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the very depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, and the deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. And I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So our big idea for this morning is that prayer from the depths reaches to the heavens. Let me say that again. Prayer from the depths reaches to the heavens. But in order to understand how and why Jonah was stuck praying in the depths, I'm going to reel in my friend and this summer's intern, Rachel. Come on up. All right.
There you go.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. If we haven't met yet, my name is Rachel, and I'm one of the summer interns here. This morning, I'm going to be going over what led Jonah to be sent into the belly of the fish and his prayer while in the fish. To understand both of these points, I'm going to start from the beginning. So if you haven't heard the story of Jonah or you're just unfamiliar with it, don't worry, you're in luck. So Jonah's story starts with God telling Jonah to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach his word. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh, as it was a city known for its cruelty, violence, and bloodshed. While God wanted to give the Ninevites a second chance to repent from their evil ways, Jonah thought they should be punished. So he ran. Jonah ran away and got on a boat going in the opposite direction. But while Jonah was on his way to Tarshish, God sent Jonah into a massive storm. While the storm went on, the crew panicked. They couldn't figure out why this was happening. Finally, Jonah confessed that it was his disobedience that caused the storm. He told the crew that if they threw him overboard, the storm would stop. The crew were reluctant. They didn't want to be the reason a man died. But they threw him overboard and decided to ask for forgiveness and ask God to spare them for what they had done. So now that we have a bit of context, let's dive in to why Jonah chose to disobey God. Jonah's disobedience was caused by a lack of empathy and grace towards the Ninevites. Jonah truly believed that the Ninevites should have been condemned for their wicked ways. He thought that no mercy should have been granted to the Ninevites and that God should have killed them without hesitation. Jonah's not alone in how he feels here. At some point or another, we have all lacked grace and empathy towards somebody or a group of people. I once knew somebody in high school who would do nothing but talk bad about the people that I cared about. And after a while, I grew kind of sick of it, and I lost all feelings of grace and empathy towards this person. But what I didn't realize at the time was this was similar towards Jonah. But unlike Jonah, I did not wish harm to come upon this person. Jonah also knew that if he went to Nineveh, God would and could probably save the Ninevites. So he ran away, distancing himself from God. It's almost crazy to think that it was this decision that started his descent away from God and into the depths. But it didn't stop there. Jonah fled as far as he could from God, thinking that he knew better. It was this self-righteous thinking that caused the huge storm to fall on Jonah and the sailors. It was an unrelenting storm that was only getting worse, and the only thing that could stop the storm was throwing Jonah overboard, punishing him for his disobedience and saving the rest of the sailors. In Jonah 1, 11, and 12, it says, "The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, 'What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?' 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea,' he replied, 'and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault for the great storm, that the great storm has come upon you.'" So now Jonah's descent has been taken in a literal form. As he sinks down to the bottom of the seas, into the depths of what he can only describe as death itself in chapter 2, verse 2, he said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." This is where we find Jonah praying to God for the first time since he was called to Nineveh. Jonah's prayer has lots of imagery in every sentence. So let's jump into how Jonah talks about himself and how he feels in his surroundings. Jonah describes himself in verse 2 as being in distress. And he says that he cried out to the Lord. And he goes on in the next couple verses to say that you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. The currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said that I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. Jonah paints quite the picture of discomfort and pain. He does this by explaining his dark surroundings while being in a dark state of mind. But this is all in contrast to how he describes God. Jonah almost simultaneously describes both pain, discomfort, and the glory of God all at once. Throughout all of Jonah's mental and physical turmoil, he calls to the Lord with a sense of love and gratitude. In verse 4, he says that I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again to your holy temple. And in verse 9, with shouts of grateful praise, I will sacrifice to you. It's interesting to see the contrast of these two descriptions. Even though Jonah was on the brink of what he thought was death, even going as far to describe it as Sheol in some translations. In chapter 2, verse 2 of ESV, it says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. Sheol is often described as a place where both righteous and wicked go after death, and is described as being down in the depths of the earth, just like Jonah says. And throughout all of this, Jonah still calls to God, the one good person he knew would answer, even from deep in the realm of the dead. And this is kind of where we start to see a change in Jonah's tone towards this whole situation. And the last thing I'd like to touch on is Jonah's repentance towards God. So the last thing Jonah does in the belly of the fish was repent. Jonah, in the midst of all his pain and discomfort, decided to turn his heart and his mind towards God. We sort of see this in some of the earlier verses, like in verse 4, where it says, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again to your holy temple. But the switch doesn't come until verse 7. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you and your holy temple. It's only then that his demeanor changes from sad and lonely and scared to praising God and his holy temple. But now I'd like to invite up Tyler to talk more about how Jonah's heart was transformed. Let's reel him in.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tyler, and I'm the other summer intern here at Oceanside. It's been so wonderful to work here this summer, and it's been so cool to see what kind of stuff goes on behind the scenes. But as Rachel said, I'm going to be expanding more on Jonah's transformed heart. You see, there's a lot more than what meets the eye in Jonah's prayer. We see the recurring theme of Jonah's calling to God and God's answer. Starting in verse 2, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Jonah cries out to God, and God answers. It's really as simple as that. Jonah's prayers reaches the heavens. But that's not the end. Notice how Jonah's cry was before he was swallowed by the fish. Later in the fish, he tells God about what has been done. Jonah adds new words of praise, statements, and descriptors in his prayer, such as in verse 9, But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Which leads me to an important part of viewing prayer. Ephesians 6:18a states, And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Jonah doesn't just cry and beg to the Lord, even while he's inside of the fish. If I, and probably most of us, were in that kind of situation, it'd be very difficult to not think about the scary surroundings that we're in, not to mention the smell. But before we go further, I'd like to give more context on one of Oceanside's core values on prayer, specifically transformative prayer. Transformative prayer is living a life of prayer that will align our hearts with God's own heart. Oceanside expands it more by saying, this prayer takes on many forms: passionate intercession, meaning praying for others, silent listening, liturgical prayers, which is pre-written prayers for certain situations, groanings too deep for words, and so much more. Prayer isn't just us asking God for things. It can be anything. Clearly, prayer cuts deep, deeper than the depths of the ocean and deeper than the inside of a fish. Jonah's prayer reflects this. His is a very unique kind of prayer in a very unique kind of situation. One part that stands out from the rest is verse 8, in which it says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. What made him say that? Why did he think about people far from God while he's praying inside a fish? The Bible provides some evidence in the text that might help us understand. Firstly, it reminds us of when he was back on the ship during the storm. Each man called out to their God. Previously, Jonah was working in a similar way, disobeying the orders of the true God and trying to make his own plan to escape the good plan God had for him. So him saying these things shows his transformed mindset of remembering that God is his only savior. His prayer in verse 9 continues this. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Secondly, this statement shows us another way to pray. He reaffirms the truth that God is his savior, verse 8 and 9. He focuses upwards and reminds himself of the truth instead of on his situation. This may come as a surprise to you, because why would he praise the one who brought on these storms and this uncomfortable fish? Verse 3 states, you hurled me into the depths. All your waves and breakers swept over me. But this is because Jonah knows the truth. Proverbs 3:11-12 states it clearly. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And as a father does to the son he delights in. God loves Jonah. After all, he is his chosen prophet to preach to the Ninevites. But Jonah didn't want to do that. So God intervened and showed him who is in control. This reminds me of my own Jonah-like story that started this past week while I struggled to write this very sermon. See, like Jonah, I was called to go and serve God in a very beautiful way, that is, in preaching this sermon. But the road to get there was very rocky and difficult for me. For a long time, I could not even begin to write anything about Jonah. I had all these ideas, but I could not piece them together. My version of running to Tarshish was my bad time management skills and filling my time with other work. Many times I became frustrated with myself. My anger was nonsensical, and I was not putting my trust in God. Just like how God said to Jonah in chapter 4, verse 4, the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" That question came through my mind. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Through his help, I remembered God, and he brought me out of that pit. Just like how Jonah remembered God, and he was brought from the depths of the ocean. I remembered to rely on him. I sat with him through wordless groans, desperate cries, and many other passionate prayers that helped me realize that God is my savior. I realized that God was showing his love to me by giving me such a challenge, and that I needed to show everyone else how he helped me. Now that was my story, but maybe some of you might have your own Jonah-like story. So how might you come out of it praising the Lord like Jonah did? Let me give you another example from my life that might help you. Recently, I started the habit of writing down my thoughts of the day and giving them to God. Sometimes I praise, sometimes I ask, sometimes I cry out to God. It's important to be vulnerable to him, so reflecting on your day is a great way to do that. Remember back to my part on transformative prayer and all the different aspects of how to pray. That is the big starting point. Living a life of prayer that aligns your heart with God's heart in every way possible. just like how Jonah's heart became aligned with God's heart in his prayer. Jonah was not a perfect person, though. Looking further into his story, we see that Jonah, although fulfilling what he vowed to God, didn't do it very well, or with much love. And this led him to be so angry, he wished he was dead, multiple times. Jonah's mistake was that he did not continue in his journey to align his heart with God's. This goes to show that praying to God is not a one-time payment, where the rest of your life is so easy because you asked him to help you with your chores one time. Talking and praying to God is an ongoing journey that takes time and requires trusting in God and his plans. Which leads me to another important action. Don't just call on him in the depths. For if you don't rely on God at all times, who's going to stop you from diving right back into the water? God states many times in the Bible to lean on him through the storm and through the calm. God is always there for you. So to conclude, God transforms our hearts. He cares for us and gives us challenges we have to trust him through. Remember to keep praying to him at your lowest and when he pulls you through. Prayer is very versatile and helpful through any situation. Obey God and do not turn to other things but him. I'm going to invite the music team back up, and I'm going to do just a little bit more. Now, before we finish, I want you to leave here with retention and recollection of what you've learned. You see, there's a difference between active learning versus passive learning. As you can see on the slide. Now, these percentages might not be fully accurate, but the principle of being an active learner remains. We don't just want you to only listen and then forget. So in order to make this stick with you, please turn to your neighbor and teach them something that stuck out to you this morning in 20 seconds. And then switch. That neighbor now tells something that they learned. So go ahead and do that now. I'll see you in 40 seconds. I hope you got something out of that time. But 20 seconds isn't going to cut it. So if you want to continue to discuss faith, prayer, and meaning, consider this a shameless plug to join us at Alpha this fall. Alrighty, go ahead, music team. I'll be back in a minute.